A Quiver Full of Arrows by Geoffrey Archer. Read by Martin Jarvis. One Night Stand. The two men had first met at the age of 5, when they were placed side by side at school, for no more compelling reason than that their names, Thompson and Townsend, came one after each other on the class register. They soon became best friends, a tie which at that age is more binding than any marriage. After passing their 11-plus examination, they proceeded to the local grammar school, with no Timpsons, Tooleys or Tomlinsons to divide them, and having completed 7 years in that academic institution, reached an age when one either has to go to work or to university. They opted for the latter on the grounds that work should be put off until the last possible moment. Happily, they both possessed enough brains and native wit to earn themselves places at Durham University to read English. Undergraduate life turned out to be as sociable as primary school. They both enjoyed English, tennis, cricket, good food, and girls. Luckily, in the last of these predilections, they differed only on points of detail. Michael, who was 6'2", willowy, with dark curly hair, preferred tall, bosomy blondes with blue eyes and long legs. Adrian, a stocky man of 5'10", with straight, sandy hair, always fell for small, slim, dark-haired, dark-eyed girls. So whenever Adrian came across a girl that Michael took an interest in, or vice versa, whether she was an undergraduate or barmaid, the one would happily exaggerate their friend's virtues. Thus they spent 3 idyllic years in unison at Durham, gaining considerably more than a Bachelor of Arts degree. As neither of them had impressed the examiners enough to waste a further 2 years expounding their theories for a PhD, they could no longer avoid the real world. Twin Dick Whittingtons, they set off for London, where Michael joined the BBC as a trainee, while Adrian was signed up by Benton & Bowles, the international advertising agency, as an accounts assistant. They acquired a small flat in the Earl's Court Road, which they painted orange and brown, and proceeded to live the life of two young blades, for that is undoubtedly how they saw themselves. Both men spent a further 5 years in this blissful bachelor state, until they each fell for a girl who fulfilled their particular requirements. They were married within weeks of each other, Michael to a tall, blue-eyed blonde whom he met while playing tennis at the Hurlingham Club, Adrian to a slim, dark-eyed, dark-haired executive in charge of the Kellogg's Cornflakes account. Both officiated as the other's best man, and each proceeded to sire 3 children at yearly intervals. And in that again they differed, but as before, only on points of detail, Michael having 2 sons and a daughter, Adrian 2 daughters and a son. Each became godfather to the other's firstborn son. Marriage hardly separated them in anything, as they continued to follow much of their old routine, playing cricket together at weekends in the summer and football in the winter, not to mention regular luncheons during the week. After the celebration of his 10th wedding anniversary, Michael, now a senior producer with Thames Television, admitted rather coyly to Adrian that he had had his first affair. He had been unable to resist a tall, well-built blonde from the typing pool who was offering more than shorthand at 70 words a minute. Only a few weeks later, Adrian, now a senior account manager with Pearl and Dean, also went under, selecting a journalist from Fleet Street who was seeking some inside information on one of the companies he represented. She became a tax-deductible item. After that, the two men quickly fell back into their old routine. Any help they could give each other was provided unstintingly, creating no conflict of interests because of their different tastes. Their married lives were not suffering, or so they convinced each other, and at 35, having come through the swinging 60s unscathed, they began to make the most of the 70s. Early in that decade, Thames Television decided to send Michael off to America to edit an ABC film about living in New York for consumption by British viewers. Adrian, who had always wanted to see the Eastern Seaboard, did not find it hard to arrange a trip at the same time, as he claimed it was necessary for him to carry out some more than usually spurious research for an Anglo-American tobacco company. The two men enjoyed a lively week together in New York, the highlight of which was a party held by ABC on the final evening to view the edited edition of Michael's film on New York, An Englishman's View of the Big Apple. When Michael and Adrian arrived at the ABC studios, they found the party was already well underway, and both entered the room together, looking